the sovereignty of God this morning and preach to you a message on the subject, there are no accidents with God. There are no accidents with God. What a comforting thought to a child of God in this day and the hour that you and I live in. If you'll believe what I'm going to preach to you this morning from the Bible, it'll change your life. It'll make a difference in your life. Knowing that we have an absolute sovereign heavenly Father watching over every move we make, and that nothing is allowed to come our way unless He allows it. What a blessing. What a blessing. We worry ourselves into a frenzy over things that it ain't going to do us a bit of good to worry about. God, with God, there are no accidents. Now, another verse of Scripture in the book of Proverbs says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, the doctrine of the sovereignty of God is not a doctrine of fatalism. That, in other words, it don't mean that we're robots. A lot of people think that that everything that happens, God said whatever's to be will be, and it's going to happen. Ain't nothing we can do about it. We're not robots this morning. Everything people say, every move I made, there's nothing can be done about it. That's not true. That's not true at all. God is not that way at all. But God does work in the affairs of men and causes things to happen at the same time without interfering with their free will. And ain't nobody I've ever heard can explain that. I've read the doctrine of the sovereignty of God and the doctrine of the free will of man go parallel, like two sides of the interstate with each other. And they're both true, but it's impossible for us with our little old peewee brains to understand all that implies. I know one thing. I know God's sovereign. And I know the Bible said that nothing and everything that comes our way works together for our good. But I know another thing. God lets us have a choice. You say, well, that don't make sense, preacher. It couldn't be this way. Just because you can't understand it don't mean that ain't the way it is. God's a lot smarter than you are. God's a lot greater than I am or you are. Our little finite brains can't get a hold of it. If God interferes and arranges things, where is our free will? It's there, but God does. I'm going to preach on that side of it this morning and talk to you about there are no accidents with God. Hadn't you seen the Lord work in your life before? Hadn't you seen something happen and say, good night, that was God that caused me to go over here or stop at the store or do it when I did and there's a wreck right down there 2 minutes later and something? Hadn't you seen sometime in your life when you just felt like the hand of God intervened and interfered and messed up your plans? But looking back on it, God was just fixing it all just like He wanted it? That's amazing to me. I've just been thrilled as I studied this a little bit this week. I was studying last night in a motel room up in Washington, D.C., and I began to write down these thoughts, and I want to give them to you. Number one, it was no accident that Pharaoh's daughter found little baby Moses in them bulrushes. That was no accident. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 2 just a second, and let's look at it with me if you will. I'm going to show you several places in the Bible this morning that what seemed like accidents were not really accidents at all. In Exodus chapter 2, the story went there that God's people were crying for deliverance. The Lord was going to raise them up a deliverer here named Moses. King Herod, or Pharaoh wanted to kill all the baby boys. And he wanted to kill all of the baby Israelite boys under 2 years so that he could kill the deliverer. He wanted baby Moses and he wanted all of them dead and he didn't want Israel to be stronger than they were. So here's what was going on. In Israel, a Hebrew woman would have a baby, and when she had that baby, they would take it right down to the river and drown it. And they got them all under 2 years old. But there was one baby that was born out of all them babies. now, out of all them babies, this woman had a baby. And God said, there's the boy that I'm going to use to deliver my children, Israel, from Egypt's bondage. So, the Bible says here, look at verse number 2. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child. That means he was cute. He was a pretty little baby. All babies are goodly to their mama. Ain't goodly to me. I mean, if it ain't yours, ain't goodly. But this one was cute. All little bitty babies don't look cute to me. They do to women, but they're about 4 or 5 months old before I think they're cute. But anyway, she saw he's a goodly child, and she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein and laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Look, verse 4, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. It was no accident little baby Moses started crying right then. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. And she took up baby Moses and raised him at Pharaoh's expense. And right under the nose of King Pharaoh, God raised up the deliverer. Now think about that for a minute. You just think of how that could have easily went wrong. Okay, here's one woman. She has a baby, Jochebed. She names him Little Baby Moses, drawn out. That's what I think the name Moses means. She takes Moses and she keeps him. In the first few days, she walks him back and forth. Rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will drop, tree or fall, something like that. And she says, bless its heart. I think he's just so sweet. I just love him. He's just the cutest little baby ever was. I don't want him to kill him. Lord, please don't let him kill my baby. God's watching over that scene. She hid him for 3 months. That was no accident. What if she had took him down there after 2 months? Pharaoh's daughter wouldn't have come to took her monthly bath then, brother. It would have been another month before she came down there. What if she had took him down there after 20 days? See? You see the hand of God working? Here he's working on this hand, and 3 months, 3 months later, the Lord says, mwah! And he makes Moses' little tonsils get real strong. And instead of going, wah, wah, he goes, ah! She says, oh no, honey, be quiet. Mommy said, them soldiers will hear you. There goes a soldier walking by right now. They're looking for babies. By that time, knock on the door. You got any babies in here? You know, she got lines out of something. I don't believe she'd want to lie to him, but she just act like there wasn't none in there. You got any babies in here? They'd go on. Little baby Moses, wah! Shut up! Shut up! Boy, I'll tell you, that 13-year-old, when's he ever going to grow up? Shut up in there, boy! Like that, you know. And she hid him for 3 months. I don't know how she did it. I don't know how she went and got the groceries. I don't know how she got the ironing done. Anything. But she must have put one of them little inner tubes in his mouth and put honey on it, man. Put catnip on there or something all day long to knock him out. And she done something that kept him quiet for 3 months. But then finally one day he let out a big bella and they said, rumors going all over town, you got a baby in here. So she took a little ark, maybe outside this little speaker cabinet right here. She put slime, put like black mammy all on the inside, all on the outside. She made a little bed in there, put that little baby boy down in that ark, and took him down to the river. She made sure nobody wasn't looking. She went to the right spot at the river. That's no accident. That's no accident she took it to that spot. What if she'd have took it a half a mile down the river? He'd have never got rescued. What if she'd have took him a half a mile up the river? You may think, oh no, this is awful, God's forsaken us, but God was directing every single step that woman took. I want to tell you this morning, child of God, take heart. Brother, take heart. You may think, oh my goodness, my life's in a mess. What's wrong? Everything's going to pieces. You still have a heavenly Father in heaven that's ordering your steps. If you love God, he's directing every step that you take today. That's a blessing to me. That's a blessing. Because sometimes I don't know whether I'm coming or going. But I'm glad God knows, ain't you? Boy, she took him down there and put him in the bulrushes. I don't know how long she thought that'd last. Well, meanwhile, back over at the palace, Pharaoh's daughter got up one morning and she went, "Phew! Boy, I'll tell you what, I'll be glad when they invent something to fix this. I tell you, man, I'm going to do something about this. I think I'm going to go down in the river." And they said, "Well, madam, don't you know that you have an important phone call?" "I don't want no phone calls. I'm going down to the river and take a bath." The devil may have tried to stop it. She went down to the river. So she goes down. Notice something else. If it had been anybody else but her, they'd have probably turned him in. If it had been anybody else but her, the king wouldn't have let her keep that baby Hebrew boy, right? It was the king's daughter. If anybody can get away with murder, it was the king's daughter. And so she went down there, went to the river, and she got down in there, and I don't know what she tore off a wash rag off one of them nearby plants and started doing like this, you know, on them palm olive commercials or something like that. And about that time she said, "What is that over in them weeds?" That's no accident, folks. That was God's hand on little baby Moses. God knew he was going to be delivered. God knew everything. And she went over there and grabbed that thing, pulled it out, and afraid she's going to get snake bit, and pulled that little thing out. She said, "There's something in here. Boy, must be buried treasure or something. I got all that I want." And opened it up, and God said, "Cry, boy, cry." And Moses went, "Wah!" He put on the pitifulest face. Little bitty tears popped out of that, started running down, and boy, that went just broke her heart. God had that thing planned out. If it had been one of them soldiers, them tears, he'd have just went, cut that little boy's head off, stuck him down there, held him under, done anything. But God had that woman there over little baby Moses, and there come them big old crocodile tears out, and boy, it just broke her heart. She said, "Bless its heart, it's a little Hebrew baby. Look at it, ain't it sweet?" And she said, I'm going to take this thing out and give it a bath. Keep it a while." They said, your daddy will get you too. He's having all them babies killed." She said, "Well, I believe I can talk to Daddy, and one ain't gonna make no difference, buddy. That one sure did make a difference, didn't it? Son, if Pharaoh'd have known who that was, buddy, he'd have blowed him in the kingdom come." But she come carrying up there. Here goes baby Moses right in the middle of the enemy's territory, and he sits down there. And bro, I don't know about you, but I got a blessing out of stuff like that. Hey, I was up there in that airplane this morning. I was thinking, what kind of idiot would be up here 5 miles above Bill Clinton's house? I mean, right. And I mean, all this, I mean, I must be crazy. And it's just like I said in this, and I said, "God, put your arms underneath this plane." I know God knew every step of the way. God knew every bird we was going to pass. God knew every flower we was going to go over. God knew every tree. God knew the split second we was going to land. He's got it all planned out. And there went baby Moses in the Pharaoh's house. Pharaoh paid the diaper bill. Pharaoh put him through school. Pharaoh put him through all. Pharaoh gave him cereal and bought him Fruit Loops and gummy bears and Christmas presents and birthdays and educated him. And Pharaoh made him a little Barney coloring book. And I mean, he got him everything. And there was little Moses right there under the nose. Hey, you know what that makes me think of? Listen, if God's got a plan for your life and God's going to use you for something, the devil and all these demons and all hell can't stop you till God gets through with you. That's good, brother. That's good. I don't know about you. That helps me. You know something? About that time, Pharaoh or Moses grew up, and of course, you know, he called him at the burning bush, and he delivered the children of Israel. It was no accident. Secondly, I'm going to have to hurry. It was no accident that the Ishmaelites came by when Joseph was thrown in that pit. Right quickly, for you that don't read the Bible, we get out of church a lot earlier. If you'd start reading your Bible, I wouldn't have to tell you all this stuff. So don't blame me. Did you know something? Joseph's brothers hated him. They envied him. They said, "We're going to do away with him. We're sick of his dreams. Sick of his old stupid coat with all them different colors. Looked like some nut walking down the street in 1993 or something. And it looks dumb. Them colors don't even match, man. What you doing wearing that?" And we're sick of it. So one day they got him out there, and they decided they'd kill him. Then they changed their mind. And one of them said, boys, let's don't kill him. We don't want his blood on our hands. Let's just put him in that pit over there. And so they put him in that pit. It was no accident that Joseph come out there at that same time. God had a band of Ishmaelites coming up over here. They might have been supposed to went by there the day before yesterday. But God just had some business deals down here. It didn't work out right in the town they was trading in. And it took them a couple of days to get their paperwork done. And they thought, well, we're getting started late. And they come walking up through there. And then God spoke to Joseph at home and said, all right, Joe, time to take a walk now. And Joseph said, all right, Lord, you with me, ain't you? I'm with you. And his brothers grabbed him and throwed him in the pit. He said, God, I thought you was with me. God was with him. The Bible says God was with him. And the Ishmaelites come back, and his brothers said, hey, let's sell him to them. And they said, you want to buy a slave? They said, sure. What do you take for him? And they sold him so many pieces of silver, pulled Joseph up out of the pit, and off he went into Egypt. It was there when he interpreted the king's dreams. It was there when he became at the top of the show there in Egypt. It was there. It was no accident. It was no accident. The Ishmaelites came along that day, not the next day, not the day after, but that day. If those Ishmaelites hadn't have come along when they did, Joseph would have been left to die in that pit, but God had them there when he wanted them there. You say, well, preacher, I'd love to know that God's ordering my step. Listen, if you'll get right with God and serve God, you can have the promise from this book that your steps are ordered by the Lord. You say, we're not robots. We sure ain't. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad he's a guiding. I'm glad he's in the driver's seat. Somebody had a sign on their car that said, God is my co-pilot. I don't know why. That puts you in a pretty big spot, don't it? Ahead of God. Hey, you better scoot over and let him do the driving. Put yourself aside and let God be the pilot. I heard of a preacher just the other day. I was listening to him on tape. And he's an old preacher. I believe he's up in the mountains somewhere up toward Virginia. And this preacher's boy got a hold of a gun, about 14 years old. The gun accidentally went off, went through his head here, and blew out part of his skull and part of his inside of his head. His wife, his daddy saw him there, laying there with part of his head splattered out on the pavement. And he went in the house and said, honey, call 911. This just happened not too long ago. And they said that she went in there and she started dialing 911. And by the time she dialed 911 and told them about it, they come out, the emergency vehicle was there in the front yard. They said, how in the world? We just got through talking to you. You know what happened? They'd had to been down the road somewhere and picked up somebody or delivered something or done something. And they were coming right up that road when they got that call to go by that house. The boy's life would have never been saved had not they been there at that split moment. God had them people there. He looked down and he saw his preacher. He knew. People say, oh well, God's forsaken us. Look what happened to my kid. No sir, God knew everything. God knew when that boy was going to get shot. God knew when that boy of yours was going to get hurt. God knew when that loved one was going to die. God knew when that. God allows it to happen and he'll work in our life just like he did in the life of Joseph. And Joseph suffered that others might be blessed. He became the dispenser of corn, wound up saving his family through the years of famine. It was no accident. Those Ishmaelites came by when they did. Thirdly, right quickly, it was no accident that a little maid was brought to Naaman's house in 2 Kings chapter 5. You don't have to turn to it. It won't take time. But her suffering and inconvenience of being away from home brought blessing to Naaman's house. Think about this now. Here goes these Syrians. See? And they go into a country and get them some Jews, a whole bunch of Jews, they herd them up like cattle and put them on the back end of a trailer or something and herd them up captive. Now when they get back into their land of Syria, there's one big shot there who was under the captain and his name was Naaman. And Naaman had leprosy. And the Bible said that he had a little maid that waited on him. Now out of all them Jews, they picked that one girl to be Naaman's waitress. Isn't that something? You say it's an accident. No way. No way. God had his hand on that situation. And you know what happened? God let that little girl come in there. So every day she waited on Naaman. And they got talking. Boy, Naaman's going to die. Naaman's going to die. He's got leprosy. That little girl's mind got to working. She remembered back home she used to go to these revival meetings where there's this great preacher named Elisha. She had seen God do great and mighty things through that preacher. She knew that God could do anything. He is a great man and all of that. And you know what she done? She went and told her man. She went and told her boss lady. She said, I would to God that my Lord were with that prophet that is in Samaria. He could help him. You know what that was? Here's that little girl speaking up, being a witness, and told her lady boss to tell Naaman, the big boss, that there was a preacher over yonder that could help him. I'm telling you this, ladies and gentlemen, God had a witness right there in that house, right at the time he wanted, right at the spot he wanted. She might have thought, oh my soul, things are falling apart in my life. God has brought me here, and now he's left me and forsaken me. But she was right where God wanted her, doing right what God wanted her to do. And boy, she told Naaman about that prophet. He went down and saw Elisha. Elisha said, dump 7 times in the river Jordan. 7 times he went down, got rid of his leprosy, all because one little girl spoke up for Jesus, or spoke up for the Lord there, and told him how he could be healed. You see, where you think you hate being, she was a slave. She hated that job probably. But God used her to save that man's life. And you know what that means? Every day when you get up and go to work and you put them shoes on or lace up them old boots and you get out there on these cold mornings and start that old car and you head out trying to scrape the ice off your windshield and sometimes you're going down there and think, sometimes I just thank God forgot all about me. Don't you ever think that, buddy. If you love God this morning, He's got you in that factory right where He wants you. In that plant, in that school. You kids at school, did you know that it is no accident that you sit beside who you sit beside in school? It's no accident. God's got you right there to be a witness to them people He's put you beside. I always think about when I sit down on an airplane, I think this is the one that God's put me beside. There's an old boy sitting behind me this morning and another sitting up in front of me. And I get a whole row of seats if I can so I can lay across them this way. So I got a whole row. And brother, I always think, God's put them right here in my path. It's no accident that I sit beside that person. It's no accident that the Lord has called you to that person that sits in front of you or beside you at school. You might take a gospel tract. You might give it to them, say, here, read this. You might invite it to somebody special. Something in Sunday school or to a youth meeting or a service, and God may change their life and they may never be the same. Thank God there ain't no accidents if you're serving God. It was no accident that she was there. Tell you what, there's an old boy gave his testimony yesterday in that youth rally. Shaw, you remember Shaw? He's from Virginia. And he used to be this heavy metal, head-banging punker, you know, all kind of crazy nut like that, you know. And I think he's about 18 or 19 now. And he stood up, and buddy, that boy's on fire for God. He reads that Bible, he prays, he preaches. He is absolutely on fire for the Lord. And I was so proud of him yesterday. He gave a good testimony yesterday and almost preached a little bit. And you know what he said? There's another boy in their church took that rock music thing that I did in the video and gave it to him 3 years ago, December of 1990. And he watched it and got scared out of his wits and got saved. And his whole life now is changed and he's now preaching the Word of God. And I thought that was no accident that somebody got that videotape into that guy's hand. There was no accident that Shaw watched that video and God got a hold of his heart. Man, that made me just think, glory to God. This is neat. This is neat. A supernatural work. All I got to do is try to do my best and commit my way into the Lord, and God will take care of the rest of it. Ain't that a blessing? I don't know about you, brother. That's encouraging to my heart.
Sometimes you think, I just think things ain't going right. I just can't seem to going for the Lord, and things ain't happening. Now, things might not be happening the way you think they should happen. Things may not be going the way you think they should be going. Things might not be opening up the way you think they'd be opening up. Let me tell you something, brother. God's got His hand on you. God never step of the way. And when the time's right, He'll do what pleases Him. Wait on Him. Trust Him. Learn to lean on Him. You just hide and watch what God might do with your life. I remember that guy called me one night in there, in the office. And I was out here, a bunch of some Mormons jumped on me that night. Right after I got through preaching. And I was in here, and my head was spinning, and I went in there, and he said, "Boy, I just want to thank you for this tape you preached on. Don't let them get you Bible." Talking about the authority of the Word of God and the King James Bible and stuff like that. And I said, "Well, I appreciate that. I needed that tonight. I need a little word of encouragement." He said, "Man, I tell you what, in my church it's just been going this bad, bad, bad." He's from up in Spruce Pine somewhere. He said, "I just want you to know I appreciate this message. It's just what I've been needing." Just out of curiosity, I said, "Where'd you get that tape? Who gave it to you?" He said, "I found it in the dumpster." That's right. I said, "What?" He said, "I found it in a dumpster." Well, I wanted to shout and cry at the same time. You know, I want to say, "Glory to God, look what the Lord done with that tape." And then I thought, "Ew, look what some person done with it. I don't want to hear this fanatic, plop, in the trash can." But God wasn't through with that little tape. And here's this boy going to the dumpster dumping his trash. It was no accident that whoever dumped their trash before he did. I mean, why didn't he get there before the tape did? What made him look in there? Boy, do you look in there when you go to the dumpster? Man, I hold my nose, go, I get and get gone. I've seen people picking through. I mean, you might be able to find something in there once in a while, but I mean, ain't nothing, I don't mean to be mean or nothing, but if you need something, we'll help you get it. That stuff's nasty in there, buddy. And here he's looking through the dumpster and seen this tape, said New Man of Baptist Church on it. Well, I'll be. And stuck it in his tape player, and it was just exactly what he needed to hear. No accidents with God. Quickly, I'll say a thing or two right quick, and I got to quit. It is no accident that King Ahasuerus couldn't sleep that night. The Jews were in danger in the book of Esther. You know that story? Well, I told you now. If you'd read these stories, some of you just look at me like, "Who's Ahasuerus? Who's Esther? Who's Jews?" On that night, the Bible said the king couldn't sleep. And if you'll read that scripture in Esther 6:1, it says, on that night, the king couldn't sleep. Think about it. On that night, not another night, that very night, the wicked Haman had built those gallows 50 cubits high, something like that. He's going to hang Mordecai the Jew on and do away with all the Jews. But Mordecai loved God. And all things work together for good, them that love God. Them which are called according to His purpose. And Mordecai said, "Lord, you're going to have to help us." And probably prayed about it. And oh, Esther, you know, she said, "If I perish, I perish." And all they went through all that kind of stuff. And boy, you know what happened? Old Haman was sitting at home saying, "I'll get him tomorrow. I'll get him tomorrow. I'm going to hang old Mordecai, big smart aleck Jew, up on them gallows." That night, king laid down. And he couldn't sleep. Just tossed and turned and tossed and turned and tossed and turned. On that night. See, you caught that, didn't you? Not another night. That night. He probably slept like a baby the nights before that. But on that night, he couldn't sleep. He said, "Hey boys, bring me a Bible in here. I want to read a little bit." And they brought him the record of the Chronicles and all that. And they started reading. And somewhere they found in there where the... I don't know if it's scripture, it's probably another book that they kept there, some records, and it found out that Mordecai had done the king a favor and had tipped him off, and they got somebody that's trying to kill him, assassinate him. He said, "Well, I forgot about that. We never did do nothing for Mordecai. God caused him to forget about it till that night. The Lord caused him not to be brought up." They didn't reward Mordecai when it happened. Don't you think Mordecai, when it happened, thought, "But I didn't get nothing out of this." If you don't get nothing out of it, just hang around, buddy. God's going to let it come when He's ready for it to come. Ain't that something? You read them stories in the Bible. It'll blow your mind. On that night, the king couldn't sleep. God kept him awake. And you know something? He woke up the next morning and went in his office and said, Haman. Here come Haman in there. Here's the day. Here's the day. Here's the day. King said, I want to honor somebody. What should I do with them? And Haman thought, it's me. Put him on a horse. Ride him through. Let him have your golden chariot or your ring and make a big shot out of him. And King said, good idea. You go make sure that's done to Mordecai the Jew. Man, he's just like one of these old movies where the killer has to go and bow down to the good guy. And that was no accident with God. I heard about a lady who woke up, she couldn't sleep. 2 o'clock in the morning, the night the Titanic sunk out there in the ocean. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, she had no idea what was going on, but her husband was on the Titanic. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, she woke up and could not sleep and tossed back and forth and tossed back and forth. And she felt a strange burden to pray. And she got down and started praying. That was the same time that they was going down in the water. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, her husband went in the ocean and they was grabbing hold of broken boards and pieces of the ship and everything else trying to stay afloat. And she prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And about 5:30 that morning, peace come over her soul. And God said, okay, it's all right now. You can go lay back down and go to sleep. She went back down, laid back down, went to sleep, and did not know till the next day that the Titanic sunk. And when she finally got to talk to her husband, he said, honey, I can't explain it, but he said, I stayed in that water from 2 o'clock till 5:30. And at 5:30, the rescue boat come by and picked me up. She said, that was the night I couldn't sleep. God had it all under control. God still works in the affairs of men, people. He'll still work in your life if you'll surrender to Him. I thought about my own situation. I'm going to close here. If a sparrow don't fall to the ground without God noticing it, He knows what you're going through. Sometimes God lets you go through hard times so He can get you where you ought to be. So you'll do right. So you'll straighten up and fly right. My mom and dad got married. I think they lived in Ohio when they first got married. Sandy, my oldest sister, was born in Ohio. And mom's from Spruce Pine. Daddy's from Kentucky, as you know. And I got to thinking about it last night. It was no accident. I don't know what mom thought back then. I don't know what kind of problems they was having. But it was no accident. Clinchfield. I bet if you could talk to my mom, I ain't even talked to her about all what all happened. But I bet while she was going through all that, she thought, Lordy mercy, my life. This is so hard and winter and cold and everything else. But now we see why God wanted her here. Lordy mercy, I sure wouldn't want to be born in Ohio. Nothing personal. But God wanted this church right here. No accident, brother. No accident. What if Daddy got a job on the railroad and stayed up there? I'd been born up there and might have been a reprobate. God put me in Nebo. Put me at Nebo Baptist Church. And they put this church right here is no accident. It's no accident. If you believe it's an accident, let's see you go make one happen. It just don't happen like that. There are no accidents with God. Some of you here this morning, you need to just quit trying to figure out everything yourself and work out all your problems yourself and just trust God and lean not to your own understanding and let Him work it out. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. Now, we're not going to have but just a short invitation this morning because of the nature of the message. Was to get you to just trust the Lord.
Maybe you're going through burdens and troubles and hard times right now. Or maybe you've been saved and you think, well, I'm just spinning my wheels, preacher. I ain't getting nowhere. Well, if you've committed your life to God, there ain't no accidents. If you need to come tonight, this morning, just slip out of your seat and come on. Just get out of your seat and come on right now. Some ones already come. Others need to come. We'll sing about two verses of this song. Father, do what ought to be done in our hearts. Help us to get this thought and get it good. Trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen, amen and amen. Amen. You've got a free will this morning. God will let you do about whatever you want to. But I sure am glad if you want Him to and commit your life to Him, that He'll direct your steps, ain't you?
Amen.
What a blessing. Let's sing. Everybody.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Come on.
Have thine own way. Thou art the potter.
Somebody else? Let's sing. Let's sing. Everybody sing. If you need to come, come on right now. Put your life on the altar this morning. Get your life right with God. Get your life right with God this morning. Amen. Come on.
Search me.
Come on.
Try me, Master, today.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Wash me just now.
Amen.
As in thy presence, humbly I bow.
All right, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer with these. Father, we thank you for these that have come. Thank you so much, Lord, for the great truths from your word that encourage our heart this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for being with us. Sometimes when we don't even realize it, Lord, you're helping us along and taking care of us. We thank you. We praise you for that. Bless these that are here this morning. Give them that they need. Help these that are seeking special help. God, work in their lives and let them know you're at work and let them learn to rest and trust you with it. We'll praise you. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.